lens, but in seeking new eyes. So it's the way that we perceive it, it's the way that we see it. And our next speaker right now, not only is she a royal diamond, but she also won the heart of me, Ken. She has one of the biggest hearts that I know. Yeah. And when I came back into me, Ken, I took a little break. She was the first person that gave me the biggest hug and said, "Carrie, welcome back." Everybody, give a warm hand to Julie Parr.
Bring up my phone because I wanted to remember one first thing, and that is, are you using social media? Are you using YouTube? Everybody is going to Google or YouTube to find stuff out. The other day I looked up on YouTube how to help a kid with anxiety. I saw two videos that I watched. Each of them had been seen 500,000 times, 500,000 times. They were pretty useless. Didn't really give anything of value. And we know we can help a kid with anxiety in 2 or 3 days. I was like, oh my gosh, we are missing. And I am going to encourage all of us, including myself, to get out there and get on YouTube and get on social media. With social media, just so you know, we all want to like each other's posts, comment on each other's posts, and share each other's posts. It's very important that we create synergy between all of us. And the moment you start doing that, if you'll do it, say to mine, then I will see you and your feed more often, see you in the feed. So then I can go back and help you because you'll pop up much more often. So for instance, a couple days ago, just before I came here, I fell on the ice, really hurt my hand really badly, and I thought, this is a drag. And then I thought, no, it isn't. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to show the brilliance of our technology. So I did a 3-day photographic, thing of my hand, my fingers. And I put it up on the third day. And I said, wow, I can't even read it. Rapid repair, I was very politically correct, rapid repair from a fall on the ice, thanks to Neekin's amazing technologies. Find out more about this amazing business, neekin.com/julietarr. Then I put the pictures. Now, what surprised me is that within a day, it's had 130 views. Many people have commented, and it's had 25 shares.
Nice.
That's what you want. You want shares. It means nothing if people don't, they can't just like it. You can't just like it. You've got to comment, and then you got to share. So that was interesting. Now, I just started a Women Creating Wealth, short 30-minute thing twice a month. And when I put that video out there, that 30-minute video, I had 750 views within a day. 750 views within a day, and I'll bet you there were people on there that viewed it that were not in Neekin. Because it said, Women Creating Wealth. Women Creating Wealth with Neekin, it said. But I know there are people that watched that weren't in Neekin. 750 views. We've got to get out there. We have got to make a stir, make a splash. And this is one of the most wonderful things about living in 2018. Is that we get to have social media and we get to learn how to use it well. Be smart. Twitter, Instagram, you know, visual. We like visual. Why does everybody go to YouTube? Because they want to watch you do something. They don't care what you do, they just want to watch you do something. Because it's fun and you're animated and we're visual. We are all extremely visual. So we need to see your face out there, brimming with joy, saying, you know, this beautiful pediatrician, I was so moved by your talk, saying, I love children, I am passionate about kids, and our kids aren't doing well, and we've got a problem, and I've got an answer. Come join me, right? I want to see her all over our feed, right? Because what you're doing is so critical. It's the future. So I get excited. Very excited. I'm as excited as I was ever excited from when I first started, because when I saw this, I thought, this is going to be huge. This is going to be big. This solves a lot of problems. If you want to create wealth in your life, you've got to solve problems. You've got to help people with their needs, right? You got to. You've got to have something of value. And who wants to go out there with some kind of chlorinated water thing or something that's not organic? It's not going to be me. true value that I can share. And network marketing is a true value, and these technologies are impeccable. Kurt is impeccable with those ingredients and those technologies. I mean, he deserves an absolute applause all the time, because he won't settle for anything that isn't absolutely top-notch A1. So, it's up to us, right? Being a big difference maker. Well, I got this book because I started the Women Creating Wealth, and I was like, Think and Grow Rich. Why not? I've read that book, and I'll tell you a story about that book, Think and Grow Rich for Women. I always knew it was out there for the last few years. I haven't got it. I got it and started reading it on the plane. I have to tell you, I had huge aha reading this book. I'm, oh my gosh, I had an aha. It was like a 2x4 hit me over the head. One of the things that was holding me back. So I'm like, read and study and apply to yourself. How does this apply to me? How does this apply to the people that I'm working with in my team? So I'll tell you, when I was a kid, I started thinking, somebody asked me a couple days ago at the round table, how do you get to people's purpose and mission? And that's my favorite thing to do, is help people get to their purpose and mission. It is an absolute passion of mine. And so I started saying, well, you've got to look back. You've got to look back and ask them about their childhood and ask them what things turned them on. What things are they passionate about? What did you love to do? And so I'll just give you a couple of quick examples of me. The first thing I can remember distinctly at about 6 years old was I joined the World Wildlife Fund. And I put my pocket money into that thing, and I got that little panda badge, and I was proud. I was proud. And what it taught me was I want to give, and I want to protect. It taught me I want to protect. I want to protect our wildlife. I want to protect our lands. I want to protect, it wasn't people at that point. It was pandas and stuff like that, right? So then, my mom was really sick, and I wanted to help her. So I learned, I want to help people heal. I want to do that. It makes me happy to do that. So if we're happy and we're doing what we're happy about, then we get great results. Then I read this book. It was a book on leukemia. It was written by a father about a little girl who had died of leukemia. And I can remember sitting in my father's house, who was a doctor in UCLA, and I was sitting in LA in his fancy big house, and I sat there crying, going, it is unacceptable that children die of something called leukemia. I want to find a cure. And I remember sitting there, I was probably 12, 13 years old, I want to find a cure. I was always inspired by people like Marie Curie and so on, who just did amazing things. And as a girl, I wanted to do amazing things that women had done because I could relate to them more. And I'm sure you probably agree. Then I had a grandfather who was kind of a scary dude. He was a bit of a scary man and kind of grumpy. But he had come from the coal mines of Wales, and he had made a fortune as a solicitor, a lawyer. And when he died, he always liked me, and he always teased me, and I never really knew what to do with him because I was scared of him. And he used to get mad at me when we played bridge, if I didn't do things right, or did right, and I never played bridge after that. But I remember when he died, I remember going to his bookshelf, and I thought, I just want one thing from my grandfather, I'm going to take a book. And I just pulled a book off the shelf, and guess what the book was? Think and Grow Rich. Why? Why? Oh, and this is to tell you, look at your life and what life leads you to, what God is leading you to, because when I was about 12 or 13, for some reason I got hold of Nightingale Conan material, and I was like, this is cool, I want to learn how to speed read, I want to learn how to do these things, I bought some silver mind control thing, and I was like, I guess I just wanted to learn. So it teaches you, what do you love, what are you passionate about, what is that burning desire for you? I want to help, I want to heal, I want to learn, I want to do stuff, I want to be free, I want to be wealthy. Then in boarding school I was always doing things for other people, like I would darn their point shoes because it was tedious and they didn't want to do it. And I do it, and I get paid for it. And I go buy all the licorice at the tuck shop, and then I sell it a little bit of an extra in the evenings when people wanted it and they couldn't get it from the tuck shop. So it was just being an entrepreneur. Put together wildflower posies and sell them at the end of the road. Lemonade stands, you know the story. Being an entrepreneur is coming up with creative ideas, having fun, going, oh, why not this? Why not that? That would be cool. I'd have a bit more pocket money. Woo, yay. Then I could buy a present for my mom, because that's always where it went. To presents for others, right? This is fun. So these were a few things, invention ideas. I remember telling my parents, one day I'm going to create something, invent something that nobody has and everybody needs. And I'm going to become a millionaire. And they laughed at me. And I said, no, it's right, I'm going to do that. And then I found Nika and I was like, great, I don't have to do it. They did it. They invented it. They found it. They discovered it. They put in all the R&D. All I have to do is get it out there and market it, and I'll make you a million. So it's how we think about life, how we think about what we're here to do that makes things happen. And the issue is that we have, this is what I really want to talk about, is that we have what I'm going to call, and I'm going to be a little bit daring here, because I don't usually talk about this in front of you, but I think about it a lot, is I believe we really do have spiritual warfare on the planet. I really, really believe there is good and there is not good. Yeah. And there is a fight going on. Yeah. And the fight is going on within each of us. And the fight is for our hearts. The fight is for our souls, actually. Yeah. And it's really happening. And if we don't admit that it's happening, and we're just turning a blind eye and saying, oh no, all is good, which I tend to be a bit of a Pollyanna. I know I am a Pollyanna type person. But there is a fight. And everybody has it. There is not one of us in this room that isn't dealing with this fight. At this very moment in time, there is a fight that you are fighting. I don't know what your fight is. I don't know what it is. But I know that it's happening. And I know it's happening in me. And the more aware I get, there's a great book, Outwitting the Devil, by the way, by Napoleon Hill. It wasn't actually published until after his death, because he didn't want it published, because he thought he'd be really vilified for that book. But his wife published it later. But this is very real, this battle. And I'm going to just dare to suggest that we are here to have an adventure. We are not here to have a convenient life. My personal opinion is I don't really think I do well with the balance. I don't really know that I want balance. I do best when I'm fighting my fight. I do best, not fighting others, not saying that. I do best when I'm fighting my personal fight against the darkness that tries to grab my heart and dim it. I'm going to start a YouTube video series, and it's just going to be called The Radiant Heart. And really what it'll be about is everything that stops us having a radiant heart, which is our God-given gift, a radiant heart. And really what gets in our way, right, of that radiant heart. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You're feeling it right now. And that is powerful, you know. That is powerful. Because you're going, yes, I get it. And yes, I let it go dim. I've let my light go dim. Yes, because the thing was so hard. I couldn't handle it. I don't know how to forgive. I don't know how to get over it. It's just too painful. Maybe this life isn't for me. There is more suicide going on right now with teenagers, homicide, but a lot of suicide. There is more isolation going on because we have social media and we have all these texting and all this stuff that kids are staying home on their beds, sitting there, and they're isolated and they're depressed. You know what? We need each other. We need to look in each other's eyes and say, I love you and I believe in you and I know you can do this. And this is what it's about. This is really what we do here, is we say, I'm going to fight for your soul. Are you in my downline? No. I'm already fighting for you. I'm already fighting with you. I am by your side, and you know it by the conversations we've already had. Yes, because I love you. I don't even know you, and I love you because you're a human being, a spiritual being in a human form, and you have had a major struggle, and I have had a struggle similar to yours. So I feel like as your big sister, perhaps I can hold your hand and say, you know what? There's life at the end of this. There's life in your heart, and it's destined to come out. But the enemy would have you not. You know, the enemy would have you just dim right now. And so, you know, my life is, it's not much. My life is, I'm not really affected. You know how many days I go through going, my life isn't affected. Nobody wants to hear about me, Ken. Nobody really cares. You know, my upline does ignore me. My downline doesn't ignore me. And I go on and on and on, like, you know, and I just go, God, Julie, listen to yourself. What are you doing? And then I'll go for a run or something. And I work out. I work out a lot. And part of that is because for me, physically, when I am strong, I feel stronger in my spirit. So I go do all this strength training and stuff, and I'm crazy about it because I need to be strong because I have a small little body, but I have a very big heart and a very big spirit. But I need my body to be strong enough to propel me through life. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Right? Now, so, you know, we all have our challenges. Some of you, it might be that, you know, you need to just go work out because you need to lose some weight or something. For me, it isn't. It's like, I lose muscle. I lose power. I need my power. I need to be empowered. You need to be empowered. And it's up to you to empower yourself, and then we all help to empower you. We all support. Gary, we were talking at HBM, and we were talking about glowing. He's like, I know I'm different when I'm glowing. When I walk into a shop, a store, he said, I say shop, and he says, and I'm glowing, and people, you know, pay attention, and they look, and then he says, and I know when I'm not glowing. And nobody, it's like I'm invisible. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Do you know you can make yourself invisible?
Yeah.
Do you know that the invisibility cloak in Harry Potter is very real? Do you know that when you make yourself invisible, everybody gets kind of antsy around you? Because they're like, why aren't you showing up? We know you're a great light. We know you have a huge heart. Why aren't you showing up? And it's actually irritating to them, and they don't trust you if you're hiding. And you think nobody notices, right? Nobody notices I'm hiding in the corner. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. And it makes them uncomfortable because they know the truth about you, and you know the truth about them. So this challenge is extremely real. And this is what I really love to help people with. And so, you know, like my beautiful friend Kai here, my friend Kai, I met Kai, you know, in Boulder. I sponsored a yin yoga teacher, and but she didn't seem to want to play very much. She did go silver, but she just didn't really want to kind of hang out and play and learn and go forward. And but Kai was somebody she introduced to, and Kai came to my house, and you know, I take one look at Kai, and I'm like, this guy's got something going on. Then she starts talking, and I'm like, oh, this man is very, very smart. He's very sentient. He's very kinesthetic. He's tapped in. This guy is awesome. So we start, you know, hanging out. He starts putting his products on other people and start making things happen. And he loves network marketing. And I'm like, how cool is that? Right? Great. One big boulder out of the way. Fantastic. You know. But Kai, we had a conversation, didn't we? Would you just stand up for a minute and tell us a little bit what happened? Or come up here, actually, with me. Come up here and just tell us a little bit what happened. I would love that. You're going to love Kai. You're going to fall in love with him more and more as you hear from this guy.
I think Julie noticed me doing what she was just describing, maybe all of us do at some point, which is hiding. Mm-hmm. And because she really sees me, and she's seen me having an open heart and letting my mind work and just showing up in my colorful self, she can really see when I'm not doing that. And I didn't know that anyone else could do that, and oftentimes I didn't know myself that I was doing that. I was just like, you know, I'm kind of losing the battle that you're talking about, I'm just going to hide, and it's easier that way, it's more comfortable, I don't have to take any risks. You know, it's just kind of like going to sleep, it's kind of like I'm just dampened. And Julie just called me out after on Thursday night. You know, she just said, I see what you're doing. I know who you are and what you're capable of. Just do it. Just step in and be yourself. So Friday was like a lot more. I was willing to come forward more, and then I would kind of hide and go back again. So it's very much a battle, right? Even just getting up here and being honest with you is a challenge. So, but that can be a tipping point. We were talking last night about making a difference and how huge of an impact one conversation can have, and how it can be so much more than a word. It's more of a transmission, you know. And if she's willing to be honest from a loving place with me, and I'm willing to receive that, then my life changes. And then imagine how many other people's lives are going to change if I'm willing to show up and be honest and loving with them, you know. So, yeah, I feel blessed to have Julie in my life and to be brought into this company where I can see that, you know, we can beyond even making every home a wellness home, we can choose to all of us step into our colors, you know. And somebody said most of us die with our songs still inside of us. So I'd love to see a world where everyone has sung their song.
Yeah. 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 Isn't it beautiful, wonderful, glorious? You see, we are made to be glorious. And we're like, oh no, not me, and let's play being bashful, and let's play, you know, play it down. And it just doesn't work. Sherry Danzig's shown up beautifully this year. She's just shining her light and nailing it on all these beautiful comments. And it's like so inspiring, right, for everybody. Like, go Sherry, we're all excited. It's beautiful, right? And she shared her struggle. Okay, 2 minutes, okay. So thank you, Sherry, you know, for showing us the way, because we all need to be reminded that we can shine greatly. So my last, you know, message is just, it is about freedom. But it is not just about having a balanced, comfy life. It isn't. It's a, about taking that challenge. It's about taking the adventure, saying, I was made for adventure. I was made for this battle. I was made for this. I want this. Bring it on. Because I'm going to win this battle. And it is that very win of your own soul, for yourself and for the world. And that is freedom to me. That is the real freedom, is the alleviation of suffering, but also the upliftment and empowerment of the human spirit, so we can do great, great things. And so the last thing I will say is that, you know, when I was in the circus, I worked with the tigers. I loved the tigers. I used to go down in the morning and be with them when they got fed. I used to talk to them, but I always felt really sad for them. There were six of them, and they were in the cages all the time. And I was like, you are so beautiful, and you're in these cages. Ugh. And then, suddenly one day, two of them escaped. And I went to the tent for our Sunday afternoon. We had three performances on a Sunday, worked really hard. And they said, Julie, Julie, get in the tent because those tigers are escaping, have escaped. And I was like, those tigers don't want me, they want to be free. And I ran out after them. And everybody else was hiding in the tent. I ran out after them, and I watched them. And I'm going to tell you, it was the most beautiful thing, more than watching Discovery Channel or anything on TV, because it was real life, and they were running. They were running across the hills of Chihuahua. And I cried because they had been in cages for so long, but they never forgot their authentic self. They never forgot how to run free, even though they hadn't done it in years. They were free. And I said, that is what I'm going for. I want that freedom. I don't want to be tame. I don't want to live in a tame world. I don't want to live as a slave. I want to be free on all levels. And that's what we teach in the camp. So let's be free together. Thank you very much.